and they are in the Ozarks. So what a blessing. We'll get a chance to, I don't know if we sang to them last week, but we can sing to them when they get back. Nobody escapes.
All right, am I electronic? All right, I love it. I'm going to read a passage, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I say I'm going to read a passage. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written. He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All these things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, you have revealed your majesty to us in the physical, the world around us. You have revealed yourself in the spiritual, through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask for you wisdom, as it cites in James. We ask for a blessing, a spiritual blessing today, that we may hear your word and may we understand it. May we hear your word and block out what the world is saying and receive what you are saying. Speak truth to us, Father. May we hear truth, know you, the Master's voice, and obey. God, we give thanks for this day. We give you glory. We worship you in one purpose, one spirit, one truth, as it says in Philippians 2, Father. Lord, may our hearts be full of joy and full of gladness, because you are a good, good Father that loves us beyond our comprehension. Father God, we give thanks in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here together, guys. I'm going to get rid of my jangly keys so they don't mess with them and make all sorts of noise here. The first thing is to be absolutely candid. As God had been laying on my heart some different things I wanted to see, and I've always found it quite humorous, and I told my wife, I said, about the time Sunday comes around, God says, it's okay, I change everything. And it happened again this week. So bear with me as my thoughts feel disorganized in my head, but I think that God has a special journey to take us on, and I'm excited to see what it is. And as I was reading through the scriptures that God was laying on my heart, I kept being reminded of Proverbs chapter 3:5, which is, lean not on your own understanding. And so I actually wrote that on the top of my sermon notes, just going, okay, as I'm going through this, this is not man's understanding. And then I was also going through, and I called my brother, who has had a lot of life experience and sharing the gospel, sharing sermons. And he says, well, you know, a good sermon has scripture, and then the scripture speaks through God, from God to the people. And he says, you can just interpret some of those words. And so through that, my hope is that I can narrow this down. And the subject I wanted to speak on today is faith. Now, that's like saying I want to talk about the ocean. Okay, and I want to talk about every point of the ocean. And that's too broad a subject. And I'm actually comforted by Hebrews 11, verse 28, which he's going along within that section of scripture, the author. And he says, by the way, all of these things, there's not enough time to write about of David. There's not enough time to write of Solomon. And he goes on down the list and he says, so I'm going to abbreviate this. So I'm glad to hear that even in the scripture we have permission to narrow down our focus, because otherwise we would get lost in the sea of different things that we're studying today. And so I'm going to narrow, taking that permission, I'm going to narrow this down, and I am going to, if you want to turn with me, to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to focus on the section 1 through 6 specifically. It says, now faith is confidence of what we hope for and an assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, we understand that, by faith, Abel was brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commanded as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and must believe he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, this is a polarizing thought. The word, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when I'm talking about polarizing, how many of you guys have had the opportunity to gaze on a compass and watch its effects? I'm sure that most of you at some point have seen a compass in action. I actually recently was holding one, and no matter how I tried to trick it, when I held it flat, the red arrow immediately would turn true north. That's the kind of polarizing I'm talking about. It's going to stop our thought pattern, and we're going to turn to the true north of this thought, and we're going to focus on that thought. Now, the Greek word for impossible here is powerless, okay? I think the actual word is adamantum. So if I'm butchering that, Mark, I apologize. But the Greek word for that means we are powerless to please God. It's nothing that we can physically do to please God without exercising faith. Now, there's something else we should also focus on here, aside from the idea that without faith we are powerless to please God, and that is it suggests a desire that we should have, an intent. Okay? So I'm giving you guys the answer key. I'm going to ask you guys, and feel free to speak out here, what should the desire of our heart be? To please God. We are given an answer key there, right? Now, I've heard other people in having some of these discussions go, well, it's to glorify God. Absolutely, it is to glorify God. Is that not part of pleasing God? Right? This is part of that process, is part of those steps. So God gives us answer keys all throughout the scripture. If we study it, if we read it, if we know it, and you're reading through God's word, and you're studying God's word, and as you're going along, God reveals himself through his word in a supernatural way like you've never read it before, and your mind goes, boom. And it's awesome. That implies an important thought. That means we've got to be in God's word. That implies that we have to pull back from the other distractions so that we can have this polarizing reality turning towards true north, which is God's word, and focusing on God's word. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So really, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to now pull into this narrowing point that I was talking to you guys about. And so instead of talking about the ocean, I'm going to talk about this glass of water that may have come from the ocean. And I'm drinking it, so obviously it's not from the ocean. But I want you guys to understand this reality. We're going to focus on some key points here. And I want you guys to step out from here and further discover further details that fall in this vein. Okay, one of the greatest things that we have, one of the greatest impediments we have to our own faith is ourselves. Okay, we have this tendency to lay blame at the feet of everything related to Satan. Oh, Satan's doing this, Satan's doing this. But what does the scripture say about our own heart? The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. So we do a lot of our own ambushing before Satan even has to lift a finger. It's amazing how much sabotage we bring into our own lives that impede our ability to focus on God, to give our hope and our desire before God. And I want to take a look at a couple of those distractions. Again, forgive me for narrowing the field again, but I'm going to narrow it and I'm going to step on some toes. Mine, I'm going to dance on the most, okay, because I've told you guys this before many times, I'm going to tell you this again. I consider myself very much the average person in the room. So if you've had a thought or an experience, I've probably had that same thought or experience in some odd manner or another, and I've had those same struggles, and it never fails to amaze me as I'm just listening to conversations, I'm like, yeah, I get that. And oh, yeah, I completely understand where you're at, even if I haven't spoken out about that. And Here we have this situation where we go, well, what kind of impediments and struggles do we put into our own lives? Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about the hard drive for a minute, right? Our brains. You know, we only have so much RAM up there. And for those that's computer speak for, you can only have so many windows open before the computer freezes up. Okay. I remember one time going to my dad's house and he had the computer open. He's like, son, my computer quit working. And I go over to the computer and I'm like, okay, well, this window's open. And I look down at the tab bar and the tabs have shrunk down to this size and it goes off the screen. And I just started closing tabs. And after about 2 minutes of just click X, click X, click X, I finally found it and clicked close all. And it just took like 30 seconds to close these tabs. He'd left his computer on and filled his RAM up with all these different windows he had opened. Well, you know, it's funny because we have the tendency to do that with our own lives, okay? So I'm going to lay out a challenge, and this is where the a little bit of the personal portion of this starts. And I guess even before I step into that, I want to ask you guys about this. I've told you what the desire, or God's word here tells us what the desire of our heart should be. But I want you to now look inside and go, what is the desire of your heart? And a lot of us will immediately say, well, it's to please God. Okay, is that your actual desire? I want you to consider Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A lot of people go, that's about money. And it's true. It's a big portion of that about is money, because money, in order to drive money, we have to have time. Okay, so we put our time into getting that money. So where we put our money is where we're putting our time. But it's more than that. Where are we putting our time, our thought, our process, our efforts into? And so what I want you to do is I want you to, just for a moment, think back over your week and go, where have I put my time this week? Where is my treasure? Okay? Now, I'm not asking this to you because I want to come in and tell you, well, that's wrong. Now, again, remember, I'm the average guy in the room. I love all of the distractions. They're, you know, I'm absolutely finding myself continually wrapped up in them. I want you to use this kind of like you would use the map at an amusement park. You walk in the gates and there's so many entertaining thoughts and you know I want to go over here. And you walk up to the map and you find the space where you want to go. And how do you know where you're at on the map? You find that big star that says you are here. I love those maps. Not only are they color and the 3D, you know, 3D buildings and everything, and I can kind of trace my way. I've always loved maps. But now I know where I'm at. So, guys, when I'm asking you to look over your week, I'm not asking you to look over this as a point of condemnation. I'm asking you to look over your week and your month, maybe even your year, and go, where am I on the map? Okay? Remember, God has not come to condemn us. He's come to free us. And so part of this act of us pursuing where we're at in our walk with pursuing God is being honest with ourselves. Where are we on the map? Right? So here we are going, and we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to look over a time, and we're going to go, where am I showing up here? And now I want to be over here. Now there's two choices once you find your you are here moment. First choice is, well, I know I need to go over there, so I'm going to start working in that direction by prayer and petition before the Lord, seeking God's wisdom to get there. Second option, which is the one the world has the tendency to take, is, well, I'm not over there, so I'm waiting for it to come to me. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not coming in your direction. God calls us to actively seek Him, to earnestly seek Him. Again, if you have a question about that, see Hebrews 11, verse 6. Okay, so now, hopefully, we've done a little bit of examining. We've done a little bit of thinking. And a lot of this is going to come after sermon. I hope that you guys spend time thinking and discussing amongst yourselves about any sermon that Jeremy brings or that you hear at any given time. And that is, okay, where am I on the map? So you've identified that. And you go, okay, how do I get there? Well, we have several challenges here. And one of them is running this self-diagnostic that I'm talking about. And that is, well, let's talk about how we sabotage ourselves for a moment. Okay? Let's talk about, go back to that concept about our hard drive, okay? I'm gonna ask you guys to consider doing a challenge. Find yourself one of those 99-cent notebooks, page of paper, you can do it, whatever. How many of you guys are familiar with the accounting process, okay? We got one over here, okay? We got debits, we got credits, right? So I'm gonna have you create an account sheet for the week, okay? So starting Monday, You can start it today, and I just want you to do it for a week. If you decide to do it longer, awesome. Well, what on it, I want you to write down debits for the time we spend doing entertainment, movies, listening to any type of radio in the car that's not related to worship. And I want you to write that on one side. On the other side, I want you to write credits. Okay, 6:45 a.m. to 7:15, reading God's Word. 10:30 to 11:15, listening to a sermon, and so forth. And I want you to tally your time at the end of the week. And I'm talking record social media. My wife pointed out a detail. You can actually open up your phone and check on your phone how much social media you've had. So if you don't know, it'll actually tell you. Your phone will actually warn you. Hey, you've done 14 hours on Facebook today. It's like, maybe you should go for a walk, you know. YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever it may be. Things that are actively pulling us away from a spiritual focus. What are we filling our hard drive with? Okay? If you are filling your mind with this, then you are setting yourself up to get hammered when Satan actually does decide to stand up and do something. Okay, you are literally setting yourself up for failure. My dad had a statement, and that was, if you fail to prepare, and you guys can finish that, you are preparing to fail, right? So I'm saying this again with, you know, if I'm pointing out two fingers, I got eight pointing back at me. Because I am guilty above all on this, and I am committing to you guys to also pull this out and run this debits and credits diary for the week. And I don't want you to, you know, if you feel comfortable doing it, I want you to find somebody you're close with, and I want you to actually meet with them and look at their diary and have them look at your diary and then challenge each other on that, okay? It's not enough often for us to simply say, I found a problem and now I'm going to keep it to myself. God never intended for his people and community to hide their problems or their struggles or their difficulties from one another. It's one of the reasons why of our tenets together, prayer is one of the key three tenets that we focus on, because we are bearing each other's burdens. And it's not enough to sit and just pray on Sunday. We need to pray on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well for one another. Okay? So I want you, if you are willing to, take that journal that you have done, that you've labored on, and share it with someone. And then pray with them over that. Okay? And the reason why I mention that is because I have a hunch that you're going to find, like mine when I was just running a general diagnostic, that my ratio was 9 to 1. 9 debits towards entertainment and other things, and maybe 10% spending time listening to sermons and listening to books about scriptures and reading the Word of God. And you can dialogue, write your time down when you're praying, but not the flare prayer when you're driving down the road and it's going, Lord, please don't let them hit me. That's not the kind of personal time I'm talking about doing. I'm talking about the personal time when you're going, I'm going to purposely set this time aside to worship our Lord and Creator. Does this make sense? Okay. So, I just want to encourage you guys to consider this because I think it's important. It will help us bring a self-awareness and speak truth into our own life that says, in truth, I can now recognize that I am doing an awful lot to ambush myself. So when I go to the Lord and I talk to him and say, why am I struggling with my faith over fear? The first thing I can identify is going, well, it really helps if I don't ambush my own self. Okay, well, that the self-awareness is only the first part of it. If you read through the scriptures, it talks about we must then first practice discipline in that. And that's now where it gets really uncomfortable. But we need to learn to practice discipline and go, okay, if I'm 90-10, am I willing to do anything about that? Okay. In the book of James, he says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and without holding back. Okay. But if you're going to ask God for this wisdom, are you also then going to act on the wisdom that God gives you and the insight and the truth that God's wisdom that he's given you? Or are you going to stand back and just say, oh, that's too inconvenient? Okay? All right, so we've talked about the desire to please God. We've talked a little bit about to self-examine that. Now, the question is, what are you going to fill your hard drive with if it's not social media, and it's not Fox News, and it's not CNN, and it's not Twitter, and it's not, sorry, there's so many jokes that come with that. I'm just going to leave that one alone. So, and it's not all these other medias that would draw us away, our attention away from the Lord, okay? I mean, here's a question that I would ask each one of us. When we are dealing with these social medias and these hard drives, not only is it holding out our opportunity to read God's word, but it's actually bringing in fears that don't belong there. Okay? When I get on Fox News and I read about something going on in Taiwan, my knowledge of that does not inform God that, hey, there's a problem in Taiwan. I think God was well aware of that problem before it ever happened. So all I've done is I've created concern that I choose to dwell on. That concern becomes worry that I dwell on it. And then that worry then will ultimately become fear. Fear is an antithesis, and it causes us to battle with our faith. Are we bringing on into our own minds things that we don't even need to bring in there that generate fear that not only are the opposite of what we should be dwelling on, but it's then bringing in things that are going to cause even more problems? And again, all up to this point, Satan has not had to lift a finger to impede our faith. We are doing it on our own by bringing all of this other stuff in that has no merit. Okay? Now, you could have a counter argument to this and you'd say, well, don't I need to know about what's going on in the world? Sure. But we can find out about what's going on in the world without having to spend 90% of our time doing it. There are a few trustworthy sources where we can get on and say, you know what, I'm going to spend 20 minutes just reading about some of these important things. Cool, I'm now putting that away and I'm moving on about the day that God has laid out for me. Well, what about who do I know who to vote for? Well, I'm telling you, there's so many different trustworthy moves. Yeah, John says, he'll tell you, so John will tell you. who do I need to vote for? And again, without having to spend massive amounts of time taking up our day, we can hone in and go, okay, it's coming up to election time. I need to know about these details. Here we go. I'm good. Well, what about the people that we need to inform about who to vote for? Okay. Well, maybe we should let God's truth inform those people. And so maybe we should spend more time focusing on speaking God's truth into someone's life and then let the reality of that stand out to the lies of whatever may be being told about a law or a politician. No matter how we slice it, when we look down on it, the world is the world's. Jesus said, I am not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were so, I would have told you. So we are physical beings in this world, and we are going to be part of this world. Francis Assisi said, hey, we're to be the best of citizens, and let us be. But being the best of citizens means that we are speaking truth into our community. It doesn't mean that we don't go out and we actively participate in these things. We should. But where is our focus? Are we talking about what this politician did or said or didn't do, whether it's on a macro or a micro scale, or are we simply saying this is what God's word says about this? And then we leave the results up to God. Now, I guess it really boils down to this. When you begin to struggle with this, remind yourself, do I serve a little God with a little g who needs to be kept informed because I'm reading these things and I'm learning about these things? Or do I serve a God with a big G who knew about these things before he even formed the world? Amen. Sorry, I ran off the page. Now, the scripture says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Those are eight different things. Once again, God has given us a litmus test to examine what we are reading, studying, and thinking about and going, okay, does that pass the Philippians 4:8 test? Bink, bink, bink. Nope. Now, number four, it fails. Bink, bink, bink. Number five, it fails. This should not only apply to the things we take in, but especially to the things that come out of our mouth. Whenever I go to say something, is that true? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? These are the things that not only should I think about, but the things that should come out. In Mark chapter 7, I was reading with Christian. One of the things that I found excellent is Jesus is talking, and the Pharisees are getting after the disciples because they're reaching in with these dirty hands. And they're like, oh, that is unclean. And Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles them, but what comes out. Okay? So it is important to recognize that's a two-way street when we practice Philippians 4:8. Now, again, went off the page again. All right, so avoiding sabotage is really only part of that battle, as I had mentioned. It's important that we recognize that we are spiritual beings that are permanently attached, or at least temporarily attached, to a physical body. This physical body is in this world, and we are wrapped up in the middle of physical things, okay? And we see in James 2, it says, we don't ignore that. It says, do not merely tell someone, be warm and well-fed and go your way. So the scripture, the Lord recognizes that the physical affects the spiritual affects the physical. And you will have people will come to you and say, hey, I am ill today. This is properly or something related to a spiritual attack. And I would say, you're probably right. Or in this case, I will tell you, I've been watching our music team go through it, or if you get bit by a copperhead, right? I mean, there's all sorts of things we have going on in today's world where our people are being attacked on the physical scale, not even by other people, just we're falling ill, we're having all sorts of struggles. It's the everyday, it's the every part of what we do. And the physical world, we cannot ignore it. It's health, it's bills, it's food, it's relationship, it's work, it's our how old we are. We're either not old enough to do something, or we feel too old to do it, or we're in this age where we're just too busy to do it. Because, hey, I got kids, I've got parents that I'm taking care of, I have work that I'm taking care of, and you just feel overwhelmed. Okay, so it's important to identify that God calls us to take care of those physical needs, not ignore them. We're called to be faithful in these things. And it does take up large chunks of our time. But the question is, while we're going through these things, do we isolate the physical needs away from God and then say, okay, God, when I'm done working, when I'm done caring for my child, when I'm done caring for my loved one that's sick, when I'm done being sick, now I'm going to stop taking care of my body and I'm going to come back to you. No, the whole time that we're doing this, we're to live out our faith in action, our faith in action through the physical realm of where we're at. Now, let's see here. I apologize. Now, I want to call yourself again. Call again to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Okay. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. We have so many different physical ailments that we have gone through. And some of us are going through them right now, okay? God has called us to come to him and say, Lord, can you help me? Will you take this burden from me? But God has also given us the ability to go out and pursue seeking help. God has said, okay, go. There are medicines that we can pursue if we're in certain places. There are certain countries where it's not available. But there are medicines we can pursue. There are different ways we can take care of ourselves. I'm overweight. I could eat less and do more, as my cousin said. I asked him, I said, what's the best way to quit being overweight? And he said, eat less, do more. I was like, gee, thanks, Daniel. I appreciate that. But he's not wrong. I mean, it is a reality, okay? Me telling God, please take away my appetite. No, God says, no, part of your struggle is just doing what you need to do and be faithful at it, okay? And so I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's a little too sensitive. That's stepping on the faith versus works boundary. But God did create in there within us to have a balance of faith and works. Without us getting out and doing things, he's not going to just simply have them appear before us. Even when Jesus went out and healed people, if you notice, people had to pursue Jesus. Sometimes it wasn't the individual. Sometimes it was the friends. At one point, Jesus is in this crowded room, and they take the roof off to lower their friend down. There was another time where there's a crowd, and this woman sneaks up on Jesus through the crowd and just touches the hem of his robe. Now, she would not have been healed had she not pursued Jesus. Okay? So there is a time and a place where God calls us to wait. He says it in the scripture. He says, wait on the Lord. And there's a time and a place when we need to physically take action. Okay? In all things, though, we need to set our eyes on Christ. Now, we struggle with the perceived challenges in this world, and we go, it is so overwhelming. My migraines are overwhelming. My heart condition's overwhelming. This is me speaking now. And I get so frustrated, and God goes, wait. And I'm like, God, I've been waiting for 44, almost 45 years. When are you going to fix this? Well, I'm actually just started some medicines. We'll see what the Lord does with that. I would appreciate you praying with me that maybe these medicines would have some effect. And then I look at this and I go, but God, all these doctor visits are so expensive. How can we do that? And God says, wait on me. I didn't find out about some of the expenses that occurred until I actually started working on this sermon. And then I literally stopped at that moment and said, okay, God, you've got this. I just don't have a vision for what that looks like yet. And we often have to turn and do that. Now, I want to call your mind to something special to me. There is this father, and Father's Day is coming up, and this little girl comes up to the dad, and she goes, Daddy, what do you want for Father's Day? Now, the father is thinking about it, and he goes, well, I have the resources to go anything that I want, certainly more than my child can get me. I have all the resources I can need, but he goes, I would like a flashlight. And the child goes to her piggy bank, and she opens it up, and there's 10 cents in there. So she goes back to the father and she goes, can I have some money so that I can go and buy you a flashlight? And the father's face lights up and he says, I will gladly give you what you need so that you can give it back to me. Our Father does not ask us for a resource and then not give us the resources to do it. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God that we don't understand, but notice the key factor is we need to seek God out to find out what he wants. Once we know what he wants, then we need to seek God out for the resources. For anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously without holding back. And then we must act on it because he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Okay? Guys, do you not understand the dichotomy here that God has all the cards and he loves us more than we could ever ask and more than we could ever imagine? This is a God of a mind-blowing love for us. And so often we find ourselves sitting there trying to do things under our own understanding, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and not lean on him in that effective way. Now, this is the physical world around us. We see the spiritual components within the physical world. We also see the challenges that come about as a result of that. And what we often find is we are asking ourselves this question. Why did God choose to heal this person and not me? Why did God let this accident happen? Why did God let this happen? Why didn't he let this happen? And the list goes on. And we find ourselves getting lost in this anger of unknown. As it builds up with frustration, why did this person do this to me? Why did those people do that to each other? And the hardest one of all, why did somebody hurt one of my family members? That's the hardest one of all. It really is. Because we often have the ability to handle when something comes our way, but it's when something happens to someone else and we can't fix it that everything just gets tossed up in the air. And we look at that, and we know this truth. We've sat through enough of these sermons and read enough scripture to know that there are three answers, right? What are those three answers? Yes to an answer, no to an answer, and wait. But I don't want one of those. I just want to hear yes to my question. I don't want to hear no, and I don't want to hear wait. But let's think about what we are made of for just a moment. What are we made up of? We're made up of two things. We're made up of the spiritual, which is permanent, and the body, the physical, which is temporary. Now, to us, 75, 80, 90 years, that is our eternity. That is our full awareness. For some of you younger guys, your awareness is 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 years. For some of us in the middle, it's 20 to 40 or 50 years. And then some of you guys have a little bit longer awareness than the rest of us, right? 70, 80 years. And so here we are going on, and we're going, this is what I have experienced, so this is what I know. And God says, guess what? I am preparing you not for the temporary, but for the permanent. So when my answer is yes, no, or wait, you can choose to be like the person on the map that says, I am here and I'm going to pitch a fit because I'm not over there right now. Or you can go, I'm going to faithfully continue to work in that direction because that is all that I can do in the meantime. And I'm going to trust that God is going to help get me over there because I'm willing to come to my good and perfect Father and ask Him for the ability to continue to do that. It is so easy to get lost in what we don't have. I don't have my health. I don't have the money for the bills. I don't have the money for the food. And trust me, there's a lot of folks of us out there that can have that point at any given time. Whenever I was at camp, we experienced that any number of times. My relationships are not where I want them to be. My work, I don't have the work. I don't like my work. My work does not pay enough. My work takes too much of my time. Age, and then I'm sure there's other things on that list. Do you guys understand this dynamic? And so we have a situation where we have a tendency to ambush ourselves, then we have the battle for the physical, and now we have the real battle. The battle that nobody physically sees or very rarely sees, but it's the spiritual component. We have all the natural battles that, again, Satan really hasn't had to lift much of a finger yet. Part of the reason why we know Satan can only in limited ways affect the physical is because if we belong to him, he cannot touch us without God's allowance. So there may be some spiritual component there, but we must also believe that when something happens, it is because God has a greater purpose. A purpose that we may never know or understand, but trust that God is growing us into a deeper understanding and a deeper love relationship with Him. Now, I want to talk about a couple of things here real quick. When we pray before the Lord, are we going before Him with prayer and petition? Are you going to others and asking for prayer and counsel? The Bible says for many counselors, there is victory. Are you acting to address your struggles that you are having on an earthly scale under your own power, but also recognizing in all things, God gives us the ability to take care of certain things, and certain things are genuinely outside of our power, and then going, am I leaning on the community of my brothers and sisters? Am I taking part in that community with my brothers and sisters to help with that? Am I overwhelmed right now? I'm overwhelmed. Help. God, help me. Brothers and sisters, help me. Are you doing this? Are you actively participating in this? Are we trying to force something to happen in our time or God's time? My brother, who I love dearly, and he was hired by this pastor in seminary, and he was brought into this church. And the pastor brings him into this closet with no windows. It's a small space, and there's a computer on there, and he says, I want you to put on that computer the screensaver, and it says, wait and be still. I think it may have been be still, actually. And then the pastor said, I don't ever want to come in this room where that screensaver is not on. He hired my brother for one purpose, and that was to be still and pray. Are we being still before the Lord? Or are we filling our mind with all of this stuff that never allows our minds to be still before the Lord? A last aspect of growth on the physical side is, are we willing to hear no from God? When we ask God, are we asking him like, I need this? Or are we willing to come with a humble circumstance before the Lord and say, God, may I have this? Will you give me your wisdom? I think that many times I go before the Lord like this. I have no willing heart to hear no. Do I come before the Lord and I go, okay, God, what I want is what is best for my spiritual part of who I am, not just the physical part of who I am. Our good Father does not tell us what will please him and then not provide that resource. Now, the realm, the spiritual realm, it's important to understand something about Satan. Satan is not to be mocked. He is very, very powerful. In fact, two sermons ago, they talked about putting on the whole armor of God. But Satan is not omnipotent. He is not all-powerful. And we are called to resist him. Okay? Flee from temptation. Resist the devil. But we are also called to not underestimate Satan. I have often found that my greatest spiritual attacks came when everything in the physical realm was going great. I had money in the bank account, had a good job, everybody in the family was healthy, and then boom, I'm on my back. And what if I really did a self-examination, I'd look back and realize that as things got better in the physical realm, I began to pull back from the spiritual care and preparation that I needed on a daily basis. And then the next thing I know, I'm on my backside. Not to say that he won't come at us from different directions, but it's important to understand this. And, you know, David recognized this reality in his own life. He said, God, don't give me so much that I forget you, and don't give me so little that I will steal. He calls us to be vigilant, the Lord does, at all times, to renew our minds so that Satan does not catch us off guard. Now, there is more aspects to spiritual warfare than just these things. Like I said, there's the ocean, and here's the glass of water, okay? But we have a natural battle with our sinful flesh, right? And we know that our heart is desperately wicked. Life is hard enough without helping our flesh out with our sinful and fleshly concepts and worries. And the most effective way to battle is filling our minds with overwhelming doubts and worries is to carry out Philippians 4:8, okay, to continually challenge that. Now, we just to recap, what is our overarching goal? To please God. That should be what you should also make sure and do is be honest with yourself about where you're at on the map. Okay? Don't lie to yourself and go, well, my goal is to please God, so now I'm teleported all the way to over here. Be honest with yourself about it. And then go, God has called me to call out to him for the resource to do it, but then to also act on that resource to do it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we are continually filling our hard drive with garbage, how do we renew our mind effectively? The only way you can do it is to continually flush your system with God's word and faithful, dedicated prayer before the Lord. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, I confess before you, Lord, that I do not do the job that I need to do to worship you in spirit and truth. I do not actively put that litmus test of Philippians 4:8 in many of the things that I do. And Lord, I want to praise and glorify you and thank you for the fact that you don't take me for where you want me to be. You don't meet me there. You meet me where I'm at now. You are the good Father. You are the Father that goes beyond our understanding. The very definition of what good is flows from you. And Father, today I ask for your wisdom Today, Father, I ask for the resource to be your child that pleases you. Lord, we lay these things at your feet, and we worship you in spirit and truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.